From the cradle right to the end of our days, we're always growing. We're always learning. We're always getting to know things. We're always discovering new things. We're always setting little plots on the graph to reach as we grow up. When we're wee, we're learning how to talk, we're learning how to walk, we're learning how things work in this world. As we get a wee bit older and we go up through school, we're doing our maths, we're doing our English, we're doing our exams. And even when we get to the ripe old age of 37, we're always learning, we're always growing, and we're always progressing. And yet, as believers, sometimes that isn't the approach we take. As believers, it comes to knowing Christ, and we are saved, and we rejoice in that. But sometimes it is true of Christians like you and I that we are saved and we are stuck. We are saved and we are stuck. We're not always growing the way we should be. We're not getting into the Word the way we should. We don't quite wrestle or understand things the way that we're called to. And certainly when it comes to the topic of prayer, it can be exactly like that. Certainly most of us, when we were wee, learned the Lord's Prayer. I remember in Bloomfield Gospel Hall, I learned it off by heart, and I still can rattle it out. Strangely, when you get up into the pulpit, it becomes a lot harder to remember, and quite often you forget it, and you always write it down just in case. That's another tip to John Brogan before he makes the mistakes that I have. But I learned it back in Bloomfield, and I learned it from the Authorized Version, so I still talk about trespasses and thy power, thy glory, and all of that. But it's in me, and it's there, and I know it off by heart. And yet sometimes in my own life, I look at my prayer life, and I'm not terribly sure that I've gone much beyond that. Now, I'm not saying today that there's deep secrets and mysteries to prayer that all of us must discover, but sometimes my prayers seem to be still in the shallow end of the Christian life. Sometimes I catch myself and I'm still praying for the same things in the same ways. I'm still as distracted as I always used to be. I don't seem to have grown very much at times in my Christian life and in my Christian prayer. And folks, maybe if you're a wee bit like that this morning, or you struggle with prayer, then please know that you're not on your own. But equally, that's not a get out of jail free card. Because please know, we are called to pray. We pray publicly. We do that on a Sunday. We do it throughout the course of the week. We also pray privately, and the Lord makes that clear to us here. He tells us, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So when we pray, says Jesus, it isn't this performance. It isn't a show. You don't need to be on the street corner or at the market square in Ballinahinchin Market Day and praying these big, fancy, glorious prayers so everybody thinks, what a great fellow that Woodburn is. But Jesus does say you should pray when you pray. And when you pray, verse 6, he tells us, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We're called to pray by the Lord Jesus Christ. And last time out, when we were thinking about prayer, John made it clear to us in a great sermon. I hope you listened to John when he was preaching, and I hope you were challenged by it. But he made it clear that when we pray, what we need to be mindful of is that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom by the blood of Christ. And a new way has been opened into the most holy places. And so when we pray, why this is important, why we should be more active in prayer, why we should attend to it, why we should seek to grow in it, is because when we pray, we come into the very throne room of God. And can you imagine that, folks? Can you imagine having access to the most glorious, wonderful place that there's ever been? By the blood of Christ. By the new and living way that he opened through his body, we have access to that place. And so Jesus says, when you pray, we are called to pray, called to come to pray, called to come and speak to the King of Kings. When you pray, Jesus says, come. And it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be all songs and all dancing, but come and pray in a quiet, private place, and your Father who is in secret hears and rewards you. Folks, this is the beauty of prayer. Yes, it is something that we need to grow into. Yes, it is something that we should not neglect. But yet, basically, at its heart, it is something very gloriously, wonderfully simple. Again, I'm going to quote John Brogan, who has become my favorite Irish theologian. In his sermon about prayer, he said, "Prayer is simply talking to God simply." And when you're preparing a sermon on prayer and when your assistant has already said something really good that you can't top, you really want to pray because you feel a great deal of anger towards your assistant. But he hit the nail on the head. That is prayer. Yes, we are to grow in it. Yes, we are to practice it. Yes, we are to strive to become more and more in prayer in our lives. But prayer is simply talking to God. Simply. And John didn't make that up himself because he gets it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in verse 7 here in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." And this is a verse which speaks into my life and I hope into your life, because we sometimes make prayer more complicated and more difficult than it needs to be. Jesus says, when you pray, you don't need to throw out all those big fancy words you once read in that theological book. When you pray, you don't need to be someone that prays a sermon. When you pray, you don't need to use words which are seven letters or more in length. That doesn't have to be the case. Now, that's the way you speak, then I'm not going to beat you over the head with that. But most of us don't talk that way. So Jesus says, when you pray, when you enter into the throne room of heaven, when you come before the Lord God Almighty, and when you are welcomed there by the blood of Christ, when you do it, find a quiet place, close the door, don't show off, and you don't need to babble. You don't need to be constantly on and on and on and on. I was party to a conversation the other day. I had stopped for a cup of coffee in Hillmount Garden Centre, up near the Braniel, up in the outskirts of East Belfast, and it's a different kind of clientele there. See, when you go to Dobie's, it's all posh Lisburn people. See, when you go to Hillmount, it's people like your granny. That's how it works. Well, not your granny, but my granny. You're from Ballinhinch. But I was listening to this wee woman, and she was telling her other wee friend, who was also another wee woman, about her son, Billy. And as I listened to the conversation, Billy seemed to be doing quite a lot. Billy was here, there, and everywhere. And I was thinking, Billy sounds like Superman. What's going on? And then it dawned on me. I think there were about three Billys. There was her son, Billy, and as I figured it out, I think there was her husband, Billy, and obviously wee Billy was named for Big Billy, and I'm pretty sure there was another Billy slipping in somewhere else. Maybe he was Uncle Billy. But there was that many Billys, it was like the 12th of July in the Newton Arch Road. But as I was airy-winging to this woman, I honestly couldn't follow the conversation. Because East Belfast women, my own mother included, tend to talk in a way that you can't really follow. So they'll say, the thing about it is, you know, I just said to her, you know, and then she just looked at me, and then I just looked at her, and then I said to her. And they never quite tell you what they actually said to her. But everybody seems to understand what's going on. And it's about 3,000 words a minute. You know, it's that kind of conversation. And as I was thinking about my sermon on prayer, listening to these two wee outlaws from somewhere in East Belfast, that isn't prayer. It doesn't need to be 3,000 words a minute. And you don't need to get yourself all mixed up. And you don't need to have this conversation where you get lost in it. Prayer is simply talking to God, simply. And Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and don't heap up empty phrases. Friends, when you pray, sometimes there will only be one thing that you can even manage to the strength to pray about. When you pray today, it might just be about that particular issue that is currently breaking your heart. When you pray, it might just be two or three or four words. And you know what? That's okay. Often we've fallen into the trap of believing that my prayer is not effective unless it lasts for about 3 hours. My prayer is not effective unless it's constantly referring to all the great theology that I know. My prayer is not effective unless I'm constantly at it. And after all, who has the time to do that? And so we put all these burdens on our own shoulders. And what happens? Well, ultimately we stop praying. Because it seems so hard and it seems so technical and it seems so time consuming. And yet the Lord says to us, when you pray, come and speak. Come and pour out your heart and don't repeat yourself. Don't be like the preacher that makes the same point time and time and time again. Don't repeat yourself. Don't babble. Don't store up empty phrases. Today, my friends, if you are someone struggling with prayer, if it seems so alien and distant to you, and you have believed the lie that I can't do this, I ask you today, one thing. What are you thankful for? And if you respond to that question by saying, well, Scott, today I am thankful for my mother, then thank God for your mother. And I ask you a question. Today, what is it that breaks your heart? And if you say to me, well, Scott, what breaks my heart today is my wayward son. Well, we'll take that to the Lord. And how do you take it to the Lord? Lord God, I pray for my wayward son. And that's maybe as far as you will get. And maybe the tears will come, and maybe you have no other words, but Lord God, I pray for my wayward son. My friends, that is prayer. It is gloriously wonderful. And it is simply talking to God simply. Jesus here doesn't say, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and don't come out for 6 hours. He doesn't say, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and you've got to sound like John Calvin. He says, when you pray, close the door, go to a quiet place, and don't heap up the empty phrases, because your Father already knows what you need, even before you ask Him. This is how we pray. And whenever I convince myself that it's too hard, and I don't have the time for it, or I'm not very good at it, I read these words of Christ, and I'm reminded of the simplicity of this glorious gift called prayer. And it is a gift of God given to His people, the church, to grow us up in the faith. Now, all of you, no doubt, are starting to count down the days to the summer. It'll not be long. It is 20 Sundays before I go to Portrush. Every week we'll do a countdown. Next week it'll be 19 and then 18. You're able to count. So yeah, you figured that out. But the summer's coming. And when the summer comes, what do? You buy that medium t-shirt, don't you? And you can't, it doesn't fit you. It doesn't fit your left leg at the minute. But you buy that medium t-shirt because it's a good deal. And by the summer, you're going to squeeze into that. Isn't that right? And then what invariably happens, come June, you try it on and the belly's still hanging out the bottom of it. And you put it away for next year. But we start to make plans, don't we? Going to get the weight off. This will be the year that I'll run down Port Stewart Strand in my bikini. I won't, trust me. But we're good at that in life. We plan ahead. And we think about career. We think about school and we think about work and family and holidays and all those sorts of things. And we put plans in place. And maybe even at the door this morning, as you walk out past me, you might be able to say, well, Scott, for us, it's only 24 weeks to Disneyland or whatever it might be. And poor Anne and Derek are back from their world tour this morning to pouring rain in Ballinahinch. But we plan ahead. But often when it comes to the things of God, we have no plan for growth. We're not able to say that this time in 10 weeks, I want to have read through the Gospels. By the end of the year, I want to have developed further in prayer, and here's how I'm going to do it. We don't do that. And yet, God has given us prayer and the Lord's Supper and baptism and the preached word as things called the means of grace. The means of grace. If I was up in the school with you now, folks, I'd get you to repeat that. The means of grace. Or in other words, the ways in which we grow up in the faith. Soon we will come to the Lord's table. And we don't do this just out of dead, empty tradition. We do it because it is good for us. We come and we eat and we drink and we remember. It's good for us. It is the means of grace. It grows us up in the faith. Sunday by Sunday, you sit under the word preached, and sometimes you might not think that it is good for you, but it is good for you. And why do I get myself all worked up? Because tonight there'll be about 16 of you here instead of how many are there this morning. Why do I get all worked up when you don't come back in the evening? Because I want you to hear, again, the preached word. It is the means of grace. It grows you up in the faith. Why do we want you to pray? Because it is the means of grace. And it grows us up in the faith. And so, folks, this morning, if you have a big plan for how you are going to transform your body just in time to walk the beaches of Spain this summer, I ask you in response to that, what is your plan to grow in the faith? Are you someone who truly wants to not be saved and stuck, but saved and growing more in Christ's likeness? And it is happening. Believe you me, it is happening. The Spirit works and the Spirit will sanctify you. It is happening. But how, as men and women of the faith, are we going to be more in the Word and more at the table and more under the Word and more in the place of prayer? Because it is by these means that God grows us up in the faith. Often we treat our Christian lives like a gym membership. We get a gym membership at Christmas, and we go along maybe once or twice, and we hope that that's going to produce the response that we want in our bodies, but it doesn't. Or sometimes it's like going and getting personal training at the gym, and the guy says, I want you to lift that weight. And what do we say? Okay, I'm all right, I'm going to sit here and watch it. That's how we are at times as Christians. But prayer is a means of grace. And when we pray simply, wonderfully, not with babble, not with lots and lots of words, but when we pray, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. We are growing up in the faith. And that is why, my friends, if we cut ourselves off from prayer and we say that prayer is only for those super excited Christians, those really heavy-hitting Christians, then we do ourselves an injustice and we cut ourselves off from a gift of God which is meant to grow us up and make us more like Christ. And so how does prayer make us more like Christ? Because at times it seems that it's just us talking out there somewhere and we hope God hears us. How does that grow us up in the faith? Well, Jesus tells us, because he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And we know it off by heart, but my friends, if we just rattle this off by heart without thinking about it, then we're doing it an injustice. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so with the famous beginning of the Lord's Prayer, words that could be echoed all around the world, here is how Jesus tells us to pray and how prayer grows us up. Because as the Lord's Prayer begins, it begins by turning our focus away from ourselves straight to our Lord God Almighty. Our Father in heaven. And so straight away when we are praying, we are thinking not about all the mess of this world and the mess of our lives, but we are thinking who our Father is. We are thinking who it is we are talking to. We are thinking about the one who has opened up the way so we have access to his throne room, our Father in heaven. And what do we pray? We say, hallowed be your name. I don't know about you folks, but often in my life, the most important person in my life is Scott Andrew Woodburn. I'll come home and I'll sit in the sofa and I'll do my own wee thing. And sometimes Jenny will have to remind me, Scott, you do know you've got three daughters? And, oh, aye, right enough. I'll say them in a minute when I've finished watching the Discovery Channel. That's me. I like to be the king of my castle. I like to be the boy that it's all about. I at heart at times, I'm very, very selfish. And yet Jesus here says, when you pray, what do you say? You say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. And in our shorter catechism, we're reminded that what we're praying for here is that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that we do. In all that we do. So in a sense, we are saying, Lord God, sola Deo Gloria, hallowed be your name. And you see that when we pray that, that is taking our eyes away from self and turning them again to the Lord. Here is how we grow up. Here is how we grow in the faith and mature in the faith. And then we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, Lord, bring your kingdom. Lord, destroy the power and the authority of Satan. Lord, build your church. Bring people into your church. Father, we want to see your kingdom come. And when we pray that, and hopefully it doesn't just trip off the tongue, but when we pray that, we are essentially saying, Lord, do you know what? My agenda means nothing compared to yours. And yeah, I've got plans for the summer holidays, and I've plans for the future, and I've plans for tomorrow, but Lord, your kingdom come. This is what I want in my life. This is what I want to see more of. I want to see people coming to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, your kingdom come. And even more than that, Lord, your will be done. There's prayer. There's growing in the faith, because for us as selfish human beings, it's not easy for us to say, oh, do you know what? Your will be done. Not mine, but yours. I am married to Jenny. And Jenny, before she became a Woodburn, was a Morrison. And I'm surprised that the Morrisons actually exist anymore, because there's not one of them that's able to make a decision. When you go anywhere with them, when you go to a shop, when you go to a restaurant, when you go on holiday, wherever you go, the Morrisons have this wee thing. Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't mind, they say. But the problem is they all say, I don't mind. Every one of them says that. Where do you want to go, Mom? I don't mind. What about you? I don't mind. Well, I don't mind. Well, I don't mind. And nobody minds. Where's me, the Woodburns? I'm going to McDonald's. You can come if you want. That's us. But when we pray, we do say, Lord, you know what? I don't mind about all this, all me, all my desires. Instead, Father, your will be done. And friends, as we pray that every day, and we don't need to pray the Lord's Prayer word for word, but as we take this model as the Lord has given us, and as we pray it through in our own lives, it little belittles us. It makes us decrease, as John the Baptist once said, and Christ increases in our life. Here is how prayer is a means of grace, and here is how it grows us up to be more like Christ. Father, I do not mind, as long as your will be done. And yet prayer is not just about coming to a sovereign God and acknowledging how glorious he is, because he actually does care about the things that you're going through every single day. Jesus says that in the next few petitions of the Lord's Prayer, he says, pray like this: hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. And verse 13, lead us not into temptation. And so as we start our prayers by acknowledging who our God is, and by praying that his will would be done and his kingdom would grow and that his name be hallowed, we then say, Lord, help me. Help me, Father, because you know me and you know my weakness. Help me, Lord. Give me my daily bread today. Give me enough to do me. Help me, Father, because you know that I am a great sinner. Forgive me, Father. Would you? And Lord, keep me from all evil. Keep me from sin. Keep me from doing the stupid things that I did yesterday. Keep me from saying the stupid things that I said 2 days ago. Father, help me in the mess of this life, in my weakness, in everything I'm going through. Help me. And friends, if we cut ourselves off from prayer, if we don't pray, if we believe the lies of the evil one, which tells us prayer's only for the ministers or only for those super special Christians, then we get it utterly wrong. God has given us this gift of prayer, a means of grace, so that as we pray And as we spend more time with him, and as we pour out our hearts to him, we do not carry our burdens on our own, but we are constantly before the throne of grace. And we do not worry and worry and worry on our own, but we come before the throne of grace. And when we sin, we keep short accounts with God and we turn to him in repentance. And when we think it's all about us, we go again to God and we say, "Hallowed be your name." And as this works its way out in our lives, and as we pray more and more and pray without ceasing, we grow up in the faith and become more and more like Christ. And friends, don't you want that in your Christian life? Not to be saved and stuck, but to be growing. And I'm not saying you'll one day get up and preach a sermon, or you'll one day be able to go and pray out loud somewhere. I know some folks really struggle with that, and you know what? That's all right. If you came to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night and didn't open your mouth, I wouldn't be seeing you in the car park. I wouldn't be asking you why you didn't pray. The famous story about one of our old moderators, Dr. John Lockington, was at the General Assembly one day. They were all having their lunch, and somebody thought it would be a smart aleck, because as Dr. John was eating his lunch, the smart aleck watched him, and it seemed that Dr. John hadn't given thanks for his food. So the smart aleck says to Dr. John — it wasn't me, by the way — "Oh, I didn't hear you giving thanks for your food there, Dr. John." To which Dr. John replied, "Well, good, because I wasn't talking to you." Hey, folks, that's prayer. When you go to a prayer meeting, you're not talking to Woodburn. It's not about you and Brogan. It's not about you and Dr. Shaw. You're talking to the Lord God Almighty. And sometimes as a believer, you'll struggle to use any words. And sometimes as a believer, they'll just pour out of you. And sometimes as a believer, to sit in his presence for 15 minutes in silence, that's exactly the place that you need to be. Friends, prayer is a gift, and it is a joy, and it is a delight, and it is something that I call upon you to do more and more of in your own life. Because by prayer, this means of grace, the Spirit grows us up in the faith and makes us more look more like Jesus. Folks, in a wee minute, we're going to pray this together. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. But before I do that, let me just remind you of a prayer that you need to pray today. Because we have this glorious privilege as believers, coming to the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit, using this gift called prayer. But I ask you simply in closing that when the rubber hits the road in your life, who do you call out to? See, the Lord hears the prayers of his children. But if you're not his child, who are you praying to? Who are you calling to? See, let me assure you of this. Just as he forgave me one night when I prayed at 37 Hollycroft Avenue, "Father, forgive me my sin," he will forgive you as well, if you will call upon him. So folks, see in a wee minute, as we say together the Lord's Prayer, if you are not a Christian, I pray today that as we pray this together, then truly you will mean it when you call upon the name of the Lord and say, "Father, forgive me my debts. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my trespasses." Whatever language we have learned it, my prayer is today that you will pray it for the first time and mean it. The means of grace given to us to grow us up in the faith. Today I pray that faith will start here somewhere in our church, perhaps even in your life. Folks, prayer, gloriously, wonderfully powerful, and yet it is, as Brother Brogan once said, simply talking to God. Simply. Folks, let's pray, and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Father, we are thankful for the gift of prayer. And Lord, we ask today that you would forgive us when prayer is the last thing we ever do. Forgive us, Lord, when prayer seems too hard that we don't want to be involved in it. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have treated the gift as if it is an unwanted gift. And Lord, today as believers, we pray that you would grow us up in the faith by the means of grace, by the word preached, by the sacraments of the supper and the baptism, and by prayer. Father, may we pray more often in our lives. May we pray privately behind closed doors. May we pray publicly when the church gathers together on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or throughout the week to pray. May we be a people marked by our passion for prayer, simply talking to God, simply. And Father, we thank you that we are not left without direction on this, because the Lord Jesus Christ taught us how to pray, and we use these words together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.